Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It was a strange day yesterday. I get a text from Brian Cosgrove in the morning telling me that he's decided it's time to move on. Now, moving on it for lots of people, lots of things. But when you do it and you've had so much success like he has, 21 years, 7 state titles, 62-game winning streak, all those things that are just sitting there. I don't know how you can arrive at that decision. I think it's a difficult one, especially for the great ones when they don't have to leave and they're on top of their game. And certainly that's the case for, as everybody calls him in the basketball fraternity, the Cos, and he joins us now. Brian, congratulations, first of all, on just an unbelievable career, and I know you couldn't really accomplish anything more. You can only duplicate what you'd already done time and time again, but boy, I mean, as I looked at those numbers yesterday, it's nothing short of spectacular.
Well, thank you very much for having me on, Mike. I appreciate it. And it's just a testament that I've been very blessed with great players and wonderful assistant coaches and truly supportive administration and working for the best school district in the state.
Now, tell me about when you took the job. You were an assistant coach on the boys' side. You played college basketball at McAllister. You'd had a great career. You understood the game very well. At what point did you say, okay, that looks like an attractive position to me?
Well, I mean, I loved working and teaching in Hopkins. I just did. It was absolutely my type of community. I loved the history of the town. And, you know, I knew Coach Novak very well, worked with him for 9 years. And then I knew his dad. And his dad was a legend before, actually, Coach Novak Jr. And so I knew if I was ever going to be a head coach, it wasn't probably going to be on the boys' side in Hopkins. I mean, it's either been a Novak or Metzold or a Hutt. So honestly, and the job opened up on the girls' side, and they said, you know what, I'm going to throw my hat. It's a good chance to be a head coach. I had never had any experience coaching girls, and it was kind of a controversial hire because the guy who was the coach before me was on an interim basis, but he was selected as the section coach of the year. So it was kind of a crazy deal. But fortunately, Ron Selno, who was the athletic director at the time, had enough faith in me and gave me the position. I just haven't looked back since, and it was probably professionally one of the best things that ever happened to me.
What was the adjustment like coaching girls basketball versus boys?
Well, one of the things that I noticed right away is that, you know, guys, we can play basketball and fight like cats and dogs, and then we're going to go out and be buddies for life after that. That's not the case with girls. They're going to hold some grudges. And one of the other things that I noticed right away is that girls like to socialize, and they like to have secret Santa parties and just, you know, girl things, and I wasn't accustomed to that, and so you had to get used to that. My daughter was on the team last year, and she was kind of in charge of, like, we on Fridays we'd have fun, fabulous Fridays, and girls would plan little bagel parties and all that kind of stuff, and it's truly a different deal. But at the end of the day, you know, they're all competitors. They all want to try to be great, and it's just a really fun game. I'm so blessed to have been part of it, and actually never wanted to go back to the guys' game.
Really? Do you love teaching the game? Is it trying to figure out, hey, I got this personnel, and I got to figure out what offense to run that fits my people? What's the best part?
Well, for me, it was the relationships I had with the players, and then I really loved, you know, sitting around the table up in the basketball office and and trying to figure things out with my coaches. And, you know, we've got these types of players. How are we going to attack this opponent? How are we going to utilize our strengths, our weaknesses, those kinds of things? Who's the first meeting? I really love planning out game plans to the smallest detail. And that with players, watching on film, to me, that was the best thing. That was the best part of it. And the games were probably the toughest thing for me. I wasn't a real fond of playing the games.
You know, I often think, Kaz, that people that do well in life, that work in public places, like head coach, what a lot of people don't realize when they look at it, because they only see you on game night. They only see me in, you know, either on this radio station they hear me or on TV. And that's, in some respects, just the cherry on top. But if you fall in love with the process, if you love the process, the stuff when the lights aren't on, that's what's going to carry you. And for those people that get into something like coaching, because we see the antics of a high profile coach on the sidelines and we say, boy, I want to be like that. And you have no idea what the grind is like outside of that. But if you love the grind, the games or the performances are, you know, I don't want to say they're secondary, but they're certainly not the most important thing.
No. At the end of the day, you want to create experiences for these kids that are going to carry on throughout their lifetime. You know, I've got kids who are probably 15, 16, 17, but yet they've gone on to become doctors, and they realize that it's going to be hard work, and it's going to be dedication and sacrifice. And all of those things are athletic teams nowadays. And, you know, it's easy to be, you know, the best player and receive all the playing time. It's hard to be coming to practice when you know you might not. In fact, listen, my freshman year in college, when I was on the bench, going to practice every day knowing I wasn't getting to play in the game, that's probably some of the most difficult things I've ever
had. That's tough stuff, folks, because this has never happened to you in a long time, you know?
No, I mean, you go from high school to where you're playing 36 minutes a night and you're just looking forward to the games, or you go to college and you're a 15th man and you're going to those two-a-day practices, and you're going, all right, game day, big deal.
yeah, good, I get to go sit and watch, you know. Yeah, I've been there, man. I went to Hamlin, and you're sitting on the bench my freshman year, and you're going, well, I don't need, you know, I want to be excited, but it's hard to be excited because you don't want to set yourself up, you know, that you're not going to play, you know?
No, exactly. In fact, the running joke for us was, we're going to send the manager to go get us M&Ms and popcorn. So, I mean, that was, you know, that was the reality of it. You know, the funny thing about it is you fight through it, and you look back on it, and you go, you know, God, I'm glad I was able to stick through it. I've never heard anybody say, I regret sticking through it. I should have quit. No, yeah. I've never heard that. So, you know, that's life. I mean, you can't quit on some things in life. You got to keep persevering. And
yeah, if it's worth it, right?
Exactly.
How would you counsel your players on that when they'd come in and say, Coach, I think I deserve more playing time? It's pretty common at all levels.
Oh, it's common on all levels. It's common that, you know, even the kids who play, their parents are upset with they didn't get enough.
Yeah, the ones that do play want to play more, be used in a different role. That's where it starts, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's a real difficult, it's a difficult deal because you want everybody to try and do what's right for everybody. But you know what? There's a lot of today's society, and with the emergence of scholarships and college coaches and who can get the most offers and all that sort of thing, you know, parents get wrapped up in that, and then the kids will get wrapped up in it because of the parent, what they're hearing at home. So, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you can only have one scholarship, right? And the bottom line is, And Paige Beckers was a classic example of this is a kid who had as many scholarship offers as I've ever coached, but she didn't care about that. She truly, what she treasured more than anything else was that these were her sisters. She got to hang out with them on a daily basis. She wanted to win more than anybody else, but she was the type of player that her ultimate goal was to make everybody else around her better players as well. And that was truly a sign of a great player. Nia Coffey had that as well.
Brian Cosgrove is our guest. 21 years, 7 state titles, Hall of Fame, Minnesota, retiring from Hopkins as the head girls basketball coach. He's joining us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. How do you handle the calls from the parents? So, what did you learn about that? What advice do you give?
Well, you know, I didn't like them. That's for sure. I always felt, you know what, I didn't have to be told how good a job I was doing. No one was complaining. I felt it was a good night. Sometimes it was difficult with that confrontation, but at the end of the day, hopefully they understood the best interests of everybody, and not just their son or daughter and those kinds of things. I mean, it's a difficult job.
Hey, you know, I don't want to interrupt you, but I want to bring up something that you probably don't remember telling me once, and because it stuck with me so much, and I think it's important probably for coaches and for people to hear. And you said, you know, there's two types of parents, and you said, and now in retrospect, you can share some of this stuff. You said, the one that gets right in my face, I actually enjoy more because I know exactly how they feel. The one that bothers you is the one you don't know about that's going around your back to the athletic director or the principal or the school board, and they're passively aggressively and smiling at you when they see you. That is true, isn't it? There's two sets of parents like that.
Oh, there's all kinds of parents like that, and there's all kinds of people like that. And I'd rather have somebody come up and tell me, you know, how they truly feel versus behind my back and writing letters. All of that sort of thing. It's amazing how brave people can get on a keyboard, but you know, I just it's part of the landscape nowadays. If you're going into coaching and you're thinking this isn't going to happen, you're picking the wrong profession. You better have a thick skin.
When you win a state championship and you got 7 of them, what does that feel like at the end of it? Does it, I mean, is that where it all comes together, or is it more relief because you know it builds up to, and there's just, as a coach, you feel the expectations because you guys were ranked number one in the state many times when you won it?
Well, it's a mixed bag. It really is, because it's like, I don't know if you've ever run a marathon, but when you can see that finish line at the end of 26 miles, you're just jumping for joy, and you can see that it's almost over. But at the end of the day, you're looking at this going, you know, this is the last chance I get to coach my daughter. This is the last chance I get to coach Paige Beckers or KK Adams or Savannah Johnson and Temi Bozizovic. And, you know, that's a tough feeling because you watch these kids grow up. They're wonderful experiences that they've had outside of basketball, and now all of a sudden they're going off to college. And you know, I was saying in the state championships, and you've been part of our locker room, this is probably the last time we're going to get together as a team. You never know when we're going to be able to get together, because you know, like for one example, one year we didn't have a banquet and got snowed out, and so no one really truly got together.
And this year, the classic example, you didn't get a state championship game.
We didn't have a state championship game. We didn't have a banquet. We didn't have an ending to the season. It really was bizarre. And for me, it was tough because it was my daughter's senior year.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, but on the other hand, you know, you look at the spring sports that never happened, and at least you got to that final game with this group of kids. And I know that can seem a little hollow sometimes, but, you know, we got kids that might not play high school football this fall now.
No, I mean,
never thought that, you know?
You hit the nail on the head. I feel like I'm part of the baseball program because I'm out. And I sit there and I think, you know, we did all this fundraising, all these open gyms, all the weights, all the preparation. At least we got 30 games. I watched our baseball team every Sunday night in the batting cage, doing infield, all that sort of thing. And yet, they didn't even get a game. And the track team, they didn't even get a meet.
Yep.
And so you kind of go, at least we got 30-some games. I felt really actually kind of blessed. And then I'm hearing what's going to possibly happen in the fall.
Uh-huh.
This is really a cluster, boy. I tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see how things go forward.
I should add, too, as people say, well, why now? You know, certainly your daughter in her senior year has something to do with it, and But you still, I mean, you're one short. If you won the game Saturday night, you tie the all-time record for most state championships. You could have broke the win streak. You sit at 62. There are some reasons that you could keep coaching. But there's a couple of reasons that I want you to share with us that are not necessarily basketball related, but who you work for and the school that you work for and family.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I feel so blessed to have worked for my principal, Jody D. St. Hubert. She's just an amazing lady and somebody that I admire and respect. And she has a career that she's moving up the chain in terms of, you know, superintendencies. And she got a job in Edina, so it was time for her to move on. I totally get that. And then, you know, Larry Williams, who I first started coaching with over at Armstrong, he said, you know what, the most important person in your coaching career is going to be that custodian.
Hmm.
And he's going to have the keys to everything and be there for the things that you're going to need to be effective coach. And one of the things that I developed was my relationship with Dane Stavlow, our head custodian. He was literally my best friend at school for 35 years, and we did everything together when it came to work and had tears when our parents passed. And and then, you know, we went to his children's weddings, and he was actually in my wedding. So I think when he decided to retire, and then finally the straw that broke the camel's back and put anything in perspective was my sister coming down with stage 4 ovarian cancer.
Mm.
And, you know, she's about 15 months older than me, and you realize that the most important thing in life is health. And the state championships and the wins and all that, that's really cool. But you know what? I've experienced those kinds of things. And now I have to be there for my brother and my sister and try to stay healthy myself. And it's time to do something else. I'm going to be around the game, no question about it. I'm loving that sort of thing. But, you know, it's good to know that I'm not going to have to be yelling at officials anymore, players, or getting after people. It's kind of a really peaceful feeling right now.
I'll bet. Could you be an assistant coach, or once you're a head coach for that long, is that hard to do?
No, I think I could be an assistant coach. I really do. But, you know, I there's other things that I really enjoy. I really enjoy being on the Gopher Chain Crew. And the thing that
Yeah, which is in limbo now, too, yeah.
Exactly, but the thing about I love about that more than anything else, we are totally a crew.
Yeah, a team,
and
my
high school football coach is the leader of that.
Yep,
and he's the reason why I got into coaching.
Yep,
and another guy that's on the crew is my assistant coach, and we were high school classmates and athletes together.
That is so cool.
Yeah, I mean it's really fun. Then you know, there's Coach Bauman from. He was from Nome, and he won like.
Yeah, he used to come down every from all. We played against him in the state championship. Ask him how Gaylor did against Nome in the state championship in football.
Yeah, and he's an amazing guy, and I would always ask him every Saturday. It seemed like that. Did you ever have any doubts about when you get on? He said, "Nope. When I knew I was done." And Matt Mahoney, who's the head football coach at Fairmont,
yes,
he's on our crew, and so it's really fun. I mean, it's really fun. It's a whole day event, and it feels, you know, we get in the locker room 2 to 3 hours, and we go over and meet with the officials and talk about our game plan and everything. And I mean, you're really part of it, so it's a blast. I absolutely love it.
Do you see some things because you're working on the opposing side's the opposing team side? Are you able to pick up a thing or two about how good coaches coach there too?
Well, a college football sideline is not anything that we could do in high school.
Okay.
You know, if we did that, we probably wouldn't be coaching too much.
I got you.
You know.
It's all out.
I mean, it's a different deal. In fact, I say my claim to fame is Coach Harbaugh one night. He was the only guy that was still wired up, and he walked out on the field, and the Gophers were in no huddle, and we accidentally ripped his headphones right off his head. And he was like, not too pleased with us, but
you had nothing to do with that. He was wired, right?
He was wired up, and he had a couple of guys that call him key grips, and
yeah,
they had the wires. And then there's the strength and conditioning coaches, like the get back guy.
Yeah,
he's always trying to keep the guys back, and you know, he always got the head coaches back and everything. But it's just fun. I I could tell you stories that probably aren't suitable for radio.
We'll do that a different day over lunch.
Exactly. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. And the thing that I really enjoy is, you know, Coach Fleck will come over and talk to us all the time and, you know, tell us to have a good game. And he's very approachable. And I love what he does for the Gopher football because he's created a culture. He's really created a winning culture. And he's really, you know, cares about the athletes more than just football players. So it's fun to be around. I'm learning something all the time.
I asked you this question for our TV last night. I'm going to ask it again. What advice, knowing what you know, everybody would love to duplicate and be Brian Cosgrove as a high school coach. So now that kid is 22, 23 years old, and he or she has decided to embrace the coaching career path, hoping to do something like what you have done. What do you tell them?
Well, what I tell them, most importantly, anything else is that, you know what, it's about the players. This isn't about you, right? I think coaches get too much credit for winning and too much blame for losing. I think you want to try to create a culture where it's bigger than just winning and losing. You want to make sure that you're there for them on and off the court and let them know that if you decide that, you know, this kid's going to play over, it's not personal, all right? And you're going to have a chance. I think you're going to continue to always communicate with kids and let them know where they stand. I just think there's a number of things, and then you better be prepared to make some tough decisions and realize that you better have some thick skin because, you know, people will come after you. They just will. And if you're not, everybody loves a guy who goes 500, you know.
But I'm telling you right careful now, of the coach that everybody loves at the conference because usually – there's a reason they love him, and that's that he or she's not a threat.
Right. I mean, when you're winning games, let me tell you something. You could be the Pope, and people won't like you. I mean,
yes.
You know, it's just the nature of the beast. But you know, I always try to remain humble, because the thing that I've learned more than anything else, the world keeps spinning, and we're not as important as we think we are.
Well. You are something special, my friend, and I appreciate you very much. I appreciate our relationship, and I appreciate all that you've done for basketball in the state of Minnesota, and I know I'm speaking for many, many, many there. Congratulations. I can't wait for us to be able to sit down and have a cup of coffee or lunch here sometime soon.
We're gonna do it. And
do it in a relaxed setting after you get done with all the congratulations and the kind of virtual parade that you're taking right now because they can't just come up and see you like they would like. But, Kaz, I can't say enough good about you, and I appreciate you very much.
You're the best, Mike. Seriously, man. I love you, buddy, and continue to do great things. And I just so appreciate you. Respect the job that you do. The model for what athletes should be, fail off in your business. So,
thank you, my friend. And we will talk soon.
See
Brian Cosgrove, man. That's one special dude, one special coach.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.